We interrupt your late-night fantasy about Buccaneers for this important phonograph record. Live from the new Par 3 golf course where the World Trade Center used to be, it's the morning best of the zoo with Diver Dan Doomy, Rick Setchell, and Roxanne, featuring Warren Wood and R.C., the late Bingo Rump, the wild duck of the Osage, and Garuba, the amazing farmer gorilla. With Lorenzo Newton and the Scum-Dee-Doo Orchestra, and me, I'm Jacques-Luc Laboue. And here he is, a man who's based his entire life on the Prisoners Go Into Town episode of Hogan's Heroes, Diver Dan Doomy.
Thank you, Jacques. Hey, aren't you excited about all this?
I've been looking forward to it for a long time, Dan.
Yeah, me too. What'd you do to get ready for it?
That's certainly none of your damn business.
Oh, well, why don't we get on with it?
I sent my astral body to Disneyland and read the minds of the people riding the monorail.
Excuse me, Jack. You practice the ways of the Mystic Orient, then?
No. That's what happens when your pants are on too tight.
Are you sure it was your astral body?
Hey, you want to know what they were thinking?
No, and I'm sure they'd appreciate it if you didn't...
Not even the guy selling tourist secrets to the Japanese?
No. Now, excuse me. We're going to cut to a commercial. Then we'll be back with our first guest.
The Emperor with the plans for the new Yellowstone of Yokohama.
Our first guest is a man who's not quite a psychic. Harry Mysterioso, right after this.
Hey, Dan, you know, if we fiddle around with a few joints on the ceiling, that aerobics class upstairs might fall through the roof right on top of Lorenzo.
Jack, that's terrible.
Just trying to help.
At the Mega Discount Store, we go out of our way to make things nice for you. And the reason that we do it is we want all your money or as much as we can get, it's true. Spend it all at the Mega Discount Store.
We're back with our guest, Harry Mysterioso. And Harry, you say you're not quite a psychic.
I guess so, Dan.
A lot of people have questions about the future of the globe, about their own chance for happiness, and especially about celebrities. So could you answer one for me before we go to the audience here?
I guess so, Dan.
Will Chuck and Di ever be happy together?
Oh, geez, I hope so. They're really nice kids, but it's really up to them.
Okay, fair enough. All right, audience, state your name and then your question. Yes, ma'am.
Mayberry, New Hampshire. Will my estranged son Wallace, like, ever return home?
Good question, Harry.
Oh, it's about 1,000,000 to 1 I'm ever going to run into him, but if I do, I'll ask him for you. Over there.
Debbie Moore Pie here. We live near a nuclear reactor. Is our community going to suffer a catastrophe?
How about it, Harry?
I don't know, Dan. What's the track record on those things, anyway? Mm. Seems like you hear about some of them having trouble, but then some of them don't, so you just never know. You back there with the one that smells kind of...
My head is shaped like a sheep. Will I always be this way?
I'm no doctor.
Hold it, Harry. Sir, did you state your name? Sir?
He sat down, Dan.
Well, I can still try to answer his question.
No. Rules are rules.
Besides, for a psychic, you really suck.
I don't know what to say.
Try goodbye.
All right, just hold on. Let's take a break. Jack, you dipshit.
Jeez, it's hot. Must be 100 out here. What a day to be tarring the whole length of Interstate 80.
At least you got a cushy job, Mr. Foreman.
Hey, look who's talking there, flag man.
Yeah, well, I guess you're right. But I feel sorry for that poor guy. What a job.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure glad I'm not him.
It must be awful being the guy who has to lick the tar flat with his tongue.
Oh, especially on a day like this, Hick. No. We gotta get to South Bend by 9:30, then Davenport by 10. You'll get your break there.
Don't swear at the heat. Instead, chop this.
Who are you?
I'm Mr. Frosty Face, and on a hot day, when your tongue's in the tar, nothing picks you up quicker or drops your body temperature better than the delicious Mr. Frosty Face frozen snack. Here, a heat-beaten Mr. Frosty Face for all of you.
Wow, that's cool. Excuse me, I gotta get my jacket. How about...
I can't feel my feet.
That's right. Mr. Frosty Face freezes your blood so you can have more fun in the sun. How about you?
My tongue's keen and cool. Who wants to stop in Davenport? California, here I come. stinks, Mr. Frosty Face.
When it's so hot you want to die, a cool Mr. Frosty Face will do the trick. Stick one in your mouth and you'll see for yourself. Mr. Frosty Face comes in 10 delicious flavors, including new strawberry nacho. Then you'll say,
thanks, Mr. Frosty Face.
And now, the Pirates.
Mr. Worm.
Aye, sir.
Are be the crew ready to sing a lusty sea chanty before we board yon far frigate?
Pardon the captain's begging, sir, but we don't know no sea chanty, sir.
Of course we do. What kind of stupid buccaneers don't be knowing no stupid sea song?
Well, that be the prevailing attitude, captain. Singing stupid sea songs is one of the stupidest habits a scourge of the seas has ever taken upon ourselves to make a habit of, sir.
You got a mighty big tongue for such a little maggot insect, Mr. Worm. And since you're so fond of flapping it around, you lead the crew in a sea chanty.
No, sir. I don't want to, sir.
Listen, I've got one for you, Mr. Worm. It goes, help, I'm drowning. Help, I'm drowning.
I get your point, Captain.
Look out to Captain! Look out to Captain!
What be it, Mr. Funny Voice?
Look out!
For what?
That means a big ship is coming, sir.
I know what it means, Mr. Worm. Starboard,
sir, of course.
And the war aft man a ship port to Prince or something. And have ye sung your song yet?
Not yet, sir.
Well, then, we'll have to kill you.
It's getting to the point. Everybody sing now.
Sing.
Well, I'm no fun anymore.
Look out to Captain! Look out to Captain!
I know, Mr. Funny Voice. Man of war right in the upper left starboard board down staircase in the big blue sea.
No, Captain! The man of war has been destroyed!
See, and ye doubted me. How?
It was the first casualty of the meteor shower!
I knew it! Me plan... Meteor shower? The second casualty.
We're gonna find out in a second!
Here's a good one for you, Captain.
Are the stars out tonight? I don't know if it's cloudy or...
Cause of the riboflavin in the drinking water.
Is that true, Lorenzo?
No.
Anyway, the real reason the band is in Tails is because of our next guest.
Oh, you're not getting married again, are
you? No. The Modern Interpretive Opera Company of Omaha with their version of Ride of the Valkyrie. interesting interpretation of Wagner there.
Yeah, but they ought to do it in English.
Wagner would agree.
This is America, you know.
And America means a word from one of our sponsors.
Oh, this isn't that one,
yes,
is it?
Yes, it is. You start, Jock. Come on.
Gee, Dan, Heather won't give me the time of day.
Well, Jock, maybe you've got a problem.
Yeah, my watch has stopped.
No, I mean your butt.
My butt?
Yeah, what do you wipe it with?
Well, this bargain roll saves money.
But does it do the job?
What job?
Jock, you better switch to Cleany Whips.
Why Cleany Whips?
Because the people who make it want to get real rich.
Oh.
And they use a secret formula that makes Cleany Whips better than anything else in the world. Look!
It's transparent!
Can you say that for your present toilet paper?
Hell no!
Then try Cleany Whips. Then the girls will be saying to you...
No butt near my butt, unless it's a Cleany Whip butt.
It's time for the laugh riot of the century on RTV. It's time for the boy with his head shaped like a sheep. It's Muttonhead!
My head is shaped like a sheep. Can you find room in your heart for me? Me and all this wool?
This week, Muttonhead tries to get a date for the prom.
Hi, Cindy. It's me, the boy whose face smells like a barn. Will you go to the prom with me?
Oh, Marvel, gross! Gag me to the max!
Well, then how about you, Susie? Don't you want to dance with a boy with six legs, four around his neck?
Oh, no. Bad acid, man. I can't maintain.
I thought little hooves would make me unique, but I guess I'm just a Muttonhead.
The hilarious hijinks of Muttonhead will continue.
RTV now presents the story of one of the unknown bovines who have made significant contributions to our culture. It's another in a series of Cows in History.
Chicago, the 1920s. The city is gripped in a reign of terror as mobster Al Capone and his cow wage war on rival gangs in the streets and grazing areas of the big city. Bugsy Malone was just one victim.
Hey, no, Al. Don't do it, Al. Come on.
Hey, it's too late, Bugsy. You and your boys have been trying to muscle in a Capone's pastures.
No, Al. Hey, it wasn't me. It was a man from the future talking Russian to a Ouija board.
Yeah, it was, Bugsy. No? Now say your prayers.
Cows,
hit him!
Murder of the Malone gang became known as the St. Valentine's Day Moosacre and brought national attention to the mohem in Chicago. The task of stopping it fell to a team of law officers led by Elliot Ness and his cow.
Okay, Elmer, we know you're Capone's top lieutenant, so where's Big Al? Sure, just like you read Bugsy Malone his rights. Don't play tough with me, Elmer. Okay, boys, loosen Elmer up a little.
Meanwhile, at his hideout, Capone celebrates his victory.
More milk, Big Al?
No, doll, but that robot went so well. I'm ordering yogurt for everyone. On the house, everybody.
But, Big Al, ain't you worried about Elliot Ness and his cow?
No way, doll. He can't pin nothing on me unless Elmer sings. And that'll never happen, you see. Elmer's a cow.
Jiggers! Jiggers! It's a police stampede! Jiggers!
All right. Into the wagon with a lot of you. Come on, now. All of you, you two and the cow.
That's right, Rico. And the sight of the law will never rest until those gangsters learn there's no place for these mooeysies in America.
Be listening for more of the untold saga of Cows in History.
The tree came to life, grabbed him, and pounded him headfirst into the ground until only his feet were visible. The vice president was immediately notified and took the oath of office aboard Air Force Two. Wait, this just in, a $10 million paternity suit against the estate of the late Mr. Ed has been filed in California. We switch to reporter Chet Koppel on the scene. Chet?
Thank you, David Cronkite. With me is Run, Darlin' Run, the mother of yearling Timmy Ed. Run, Darlin' Run. You claim in your suit that Timmy is the son of the late Mr. Ed. but Mr. Ed has been dead for a long time. How do you intend to get a judge to believe this ridiculous... Well, of course, we humans don't understand horse talk, but I believe Run, Darlin' Run has been thoroughly shaken by this reporter's probing. Wait, I'm being approached by another horse now. I don't know for sure who...
Hey, cowboy, you've been insulting my mother.
David, back to you. Quick, please, take it away. Anything.
Thank you, Chet. That was interesting. Tonight on RTV's R-Line, we examine the biggest issue facing America today, lack of Barbie arms. Little girls are being given Barbie dolls, but in a few weeks the arms fall off or are chewed off by pets. And then what? Well, we'll be joined by Barbie advocate Dee Do Do to explain the industry's point of view, and John Cougar Mellencamp will explain the Barbie arm problem from the point of view of a big rock star, if he agrees to do it. Join me, David Cronkite, for an in-depth look at Barbie arms tonight at 11, if everything goes right, on our line. And now, for the Farm Report, here's Lyle Dulow and Contessa Maria von Sleep.
Thank you, David. Yes, Molly is very, very in today. While I think we agree that wheat is just a bit too stuffy for the smart set, oats, of course, are de rigueur on the beach this season.
As for pig, no one does ones and twos anymore. Threes are what's happening on the Rue de Livestock.
Strap in your laugh belt and prepare to drop. It's time once again for that lovable quirk of fate, Muttonhead. Tonight, Muttonhead gets a job in a free clinic.
She told me she was clean. Said she'd only been with one guy 11 years ago. Jeez, oh, look at that, will you?
So what? How'd you like to have a face that goes, bah, where your ears are supposed to be?
What? Holy shit, what are you?
My head is shaped like a sheep, and penicillin doesn't help. I guess I'm just a muttonhead.
Don't go away. Muttonhead will be right back.
That wasn't very nice, Jock.
Neither was that song, Lorenzo. We don't want you here.
Jock, that's not true. Now put your shoes back on.
Oh, you little thug. I'm tired of you making cracks about the way my feet
That's smell. Not what I meant, Jock. Just put your shoes on and listen.
Well, okay, if you're going to talk and Lorenzo doesn't play.
Lorenzo, back off. We have a very special guest coming out in a few minutes. I'm going to let it be a surprise. You don't even know who it is, do you, Jock?
Oh, hell no.
Good. Well, I guess he's held up in traffic, so until he arrives, I'd like to do a little of my nightclub routine, okay?
Great. Me and the audience can use the time to go to the can or something.
Sit down. Little music. Never mind, Lorenzo. I'll just walk over here and... Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Know what I was wondering on my way to the theater tonight?
What's it like to be funny?
No, who was the first woman to wear eyeshadow, you know? She must have been nuts.
You stink!
Make that guy shut up.
I mean, sitting there thinking, think I'll rub a powder from a plant on my eyelids.
Shut up, sit down.
Somebody get that guy
I can handle it, Jock. Sir.
What, butthead?
I sympathize with you. I, too, used to think drinking a lot of beer would make it bigger.
Why, you scumbag.
Hey, watch it, he's calling
Ladies and
jam.
Gentlemen.
Move aside,
Jack.
Knew those ninja death slacks would come in handy.
Chuck, remember when I said we'd have a surprise guest?
Yeah, you better bring him on. There's kind of a tension in the air around here, you know?
It was going to be Michael J. Fox.
Never heard of him.
Well, you just killed him with your ninja death stuff.
Oh, you mean this was going to be his big entrance, a clever way to surprise
right.
everybody. Yeah, well, evidently you didn't think it through very well.